Support for this segment and the following message provided by Freak Out and Carry On, a new podcast about politics through the lens of history. Hosted by journalist Ron Suskind and historian Heather Cox Richardson. Available wherever you get podcasts and on the WBUR Listen app.
A lawsuit's been filed in what's already been a long legal battle in Massachusetts. The suit centers on what are known as administrative subpoenas. Those are subpoenas that grant law enforcement access to someone's personal information, particularly online information, without seeking a warrant or going before a judge. Massachusetts lawmakers approved the use of such subpoenas almost a decade ago as a way to more quickly identify child predators. But opponents say these subpoenas are now widely used in various cases, and they say they essentially amount to warrantless surveillance. Cade Crockford, who's director of the Technology for Liberty Project for the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts, says that's the crux of the lawsuit filed yesterday against Suffolk County prosecutors. She says this fight began with an administrative subpoena sought at the end of the Occupy Boston protests in 2011.
The Suffolk ADA served an administrative subpoena on Twitter asking for a broad category of information, tons of information about people who had been tweeting about the Boston Police Department and about Occupy. Twitter sent this subpoena to one of the targets, John Doe, and John Doe reached out to us at the ACLU and said, "Hey, I just got this scary notice from Twitter saying that a prosecutor in Suffolk County wants access to my information." Effectively, what the DA was trying to do was unmask our client. Apparently, the DA didn't like some of the things that they were tweeting and wanted to find out who they were.
I believe, though, that the law enforcement officials said that what they wanted to do was investigate alleged threats against Boston police. Is that right?
That's right. So the Boston Police Department and the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office were upset because essentially what this account had done was publish a link to a database that contained all sorts of publicly available information about the Boston Police Department, including some officers' names and addresses. It's not our understanding that any of that activity was illegal. And that's actually part of the reason why the administrative subpoena statute is so pernicious, is because you don't have to be suspected of illegal activity in order for your information to be subpoenaed under this statute.
So after Occupy and after the administrative subpoena and after the sealing of the records,
right,
in this case, things get even more complicated when a journalist goes to try to figure out what's happened. Now, in 2017, can I have the records from the sealed case and there's no case file?
That's right. So Sean Musgrave thought, you know, many years later, now might be a good time to go and try to see if I can get these case files opened up. So Sean went to the clerk, and he was shocked to learn that no such case file existed. So as a result of that, we yesterday filed a lawsuit against the clerk of the Suffolk County Superior Court and against the district attorney's office here in Boston, in Suffolk County, as well as the attorney general, asking for two things. One, that the case be located, and two, that the entire thing be unsealed and made public so that once and for all the public can see what was so important to the DAs to keep secret for all this time.
And let's just be clear here. No one ever criminally charged because of this administrative subpoena.
That's our understanding.
What is known about how often prosecutors use these types of subpoenas?
Well, that's a great question. And unfortunately, we do not have sufficient information about how often DAs are issuing these subpoenas. Some DAs flat out refuse to provide us any information about how they're using the subpoena power. Other offices have been a lot more forthcoming.
Couldn't law enforcement say, you know, we've found out that these are valuable crime-fighting tools that can help us identify people quickly, so we should be able to use this so we can fight crime?
Yeah, I mean, they certainly will say that.
Right.
This is a power that they believe strongly they have a right to use. And, you know, it's our view that the public should look very carefully at this, including the state legislature. You know, we ultimately would like to see the eradication of a statute that enables warrantless surveillance of extremely sensitive communications records on Massachusetts residents.
You know, I've spoken with lawyers, and it's my understanding that the district attorney has argued this, that, you know, once you get on Twitter and you start posting things, you've given up your right to anonymity. You're doing something publicly as you on a social media platform, on a very public platform. And I think some lawyers say that notion of privacy on the internet and on social media is fiction. I mean, what do you say to that?
If you're issuing a public tweet, the content of that tweet is readable by any district attorney. But the issue that we're discussing here is the ability to anonymously issue that tweet, right? So we think it's important under the First Amendment for people to be able to anonymously criticize the government. And if you can't do that on Twitter in the 21st century, you can't really meaningfully do it at all.
All right. Kate Crawford, Director of the Technology for Liberty Project at the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Deb.
A spokesperson for the Suffolk County District Attorney said the office had not seen the ACLU's lawsuit and would not comment.